Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Carrie Eichberger. Carrie is on the show today talking about how a little peace goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Carrie is the author of Win Over Worry, and she is honest to say that she is no stranger to worry and its ill effects. As a teenager, she discovered the power of panic and anxiety after encountering her own struggles and suffering. She developed unhealthy and unreliable coping strategies of self-will over the preferred will and way of God. Join us to learn how to face the fears that have been holding you back from taking flight into the fullness of life you long for. God has planned a colorful, flavorful, chains-free future for you to enjoy right here, right now. Hi, Carrie, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Rachel, I am blessed as always to have the opportunity to talk to you.
So you and I are real life friends. We met for the first time at a dinner at a Spark conference in Nashville, and we just returned from a writer's retreat in Gatlinburg. So I just always get to enjoy spending time with you, and we even Marco back and forth almost on a daily basis, not always, but so much. And so I'm just excited to get to introduce my podcast friends to you, and I know they're going to love you as much as I do.
Aww. Thank you so much. I'm excited to talk with you today, as usual.
Right. So today's conversation is about how a little peace goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And you've written, Win Over Worry, Conquer What Shakes You and Soar with the One Who Overcomes. So you begin your book by inviting the reader to understand their worry. So when did your battle with worry first begin?
Oh gosh. In the womb, probably. You know, really, I feel like I've always had a little bit of a bent towards worry and anxiety. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. But I think that a lot of us that can't necessarily relate to that feeling of just this physical sense of anxiety, you know, we develop worry and fears throughout our life as we experience difficulties. And that was really when I first realized that I had struggles with worry and with fear, specifically in my teenage years when I experienced some difficult struggles and it started to plant those seeds of worry, which then led to unhealthy coping, which looked more like self-will, my way over the will and the way of God. So I started doing things like avoiding certain parts of life and just staying distracted and living anxiously, trying to control my surroundings and not truly addressing the worry, and snowballed into a place of panic for me. And then down the road to a more of a desperate place where I hit more of a rock bottom and was forced once and for all to do something about it.
So once people understand their worry and where their worry battle begins, the next step is to unravel it. So how do we identify what we're actually worrying about? Because worry is really prevalent, I think, don't you?
Oh my gosh. You know, it's funny because a lot of people I've noticed, especially since I've released this book, people that have even read my book, and they'll say like, oh, I'm not a worrier. I don't worry. And then they even start to take a look at their thought life and realize, and as they read the book, they realize, well, maybe I worry like a little more than I thought. It's like when if most of us looked at our thought life and we could identify thoughts that we become consumed with, thoughts that make us uneasy, that things that make us feel unsettled and uncomfortable. So we might not say we're worriers, but, you know, shows up in our thought life looks a lot different. We find ourselves then trying to control our circumstances. I'm 100% guilty of that. So I think that it's really in identifying our thought life. You know, we don't say we're not worriers, but if we look at what's consuming us on a daily basis, we can really identify what truly we're worried about.
So you then guide readers to uproot it. So who is the true enemy that we're fighting? So it truly is a battle that we're fighting, and there's a real enemy.
Absolutely. You know, I think that the truth is we even if we might see our worry tendency in our lives, a lot of times some of us will dismiss it. We might normalize it. We'll get with our friends and we're like, okay, yeah, so I'm worried about my kids, or I'm worried about money, and everyone's like, me too. And we just sort of keep on that path. We talk about it like it's just what everyone does. But the truth is, there is fear at the root of all of our worries. And that's important because fear is of the enemy. And the true enemy at the root of worry is Satan, and he is a liar. So basically, when we're worrying, we're believing lies, and nobody wants to believe a liar. I mean, I use a word in the book, bamboozled. It's like when I realize that I'm being lied to and I'm believing lies, that doesn't feel good. It makes me want to put up a fight. And as Christians, we claim that we believe God, that he is the only one to be trusted, right? So that's what I believe, and that's what I want my life to reveal. But yet, when we're worrying, that's not what our life shows.
So unloading is your next chapter. What role does prayer play in our battle with worry?
Okay, so a huge role. Prayer, I feel like for people, prayer has just become such a like cliche, simple exercise. Sometimes in the Christian walk, and it seems like such a simple solution in this battle plan, but I think that it's completely underused. Here's what I've learned in my experience, and I think a lot of us can see this too if you think about it. Prayer always equals peace. We just have to remember to do it. Like I know every time for me, if I pray in a situation, you know, whether it's just, you know, I'm sensing worry or fear in a moment, or it's been sort of snowballing in my life, anytime I'm feeling that and I remember to stop and pray, immediately I have a sense of God's peace wash over me. And the more I do it, the more I experience that peace. So I highlight 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where the Bible says to pray without ceasing. And we all know this verse, many of us do, but do we truly do that? And I know it's impossible to pray literally nonstop continually, but I believe we can do more. And I know I need to challenge myself to do more, because like I said, when we can really infuse more and remember to pray, we can really relieve so much worry in our life. And I mean, just imagine what we could do if we could pray every time we're faced with one of those fears. And I mess this up. I mess this up many times. But with practice, I think we can make progress and experience less worry and more peace as we pray over each situation.
You know, I actually was listening. I'm doing a Lifeway study right now. It's called When You Pray. And it was Jackie Hill Perry was talking about Hannah and how she went to the Lord in prayer, and how her circumstance actually did not change. But when mm-hmm. she was so worried about her circumstance, when she was barren and wanted to have a child, and she was just so distraught, she goes to the Lord in prayer, and then she gets up after the prayer and she felt better and actually goes and worships the Lord, but she still was barren. Yeah. And I just find, yes. It struck me that, you know, we can have that same reaction and that same response after a prayer and spending time with the Lord. Our circumstance may Absolutely. Or may not change after spending time in prayer with him. Like we can still, right. maybe our circumstance is the exact same, but we don't have to worry anymore about it. And I'm trying to think and it's escaping me right now, but like so much of what we worry about will probably never come to pass. Like like what percentage or something, yes. like, is there an actual,
I think it's like 90%. I remember my research looking that up. It's crazy. Yeah. It's a big percentage.
Yeah. And so, yeah, go to the Lord with it. Yeah, like put it in his hands. He can carry the weight of our burdens when we were never meant to carry the weight of all of that, but yet we try to so often. And so I love, yes. And I actually was able to endorse your book. And so I've read it cover to cover. And what I love so much about your book is you really do give personal stories of how you really have dealt with all these things and then practical steps to overcome each of these. And I think prayer is a great example of that. And so then moving on, you talk about how to unshackle it. And so how do mm-hmm. we learn to release control? This is really difficult. And I'd love uh-huh. to hear if you have an example from your own life.
Okay, I have a lot of examples from my own life. Control is something that I acknowledge that I struggle with. I think I'm not the only one that probably could say that. As far as control and releasing that, I first personally had to understand who is actually in control. Like, that was the beginning of it. I had to really wrap my arms around the fact that I am not in control, truly, that God is the one in control of all things. He is sovereign. And we assume, myself included, we assume too much control over our own lives. And I have many examples from my own life. I know that God reminds me every day that I'm not in control. And I think we all can remember, like, one big one was like when the world experienced the COVID pandemic. Everyone was, you know, saying out loud, right and left, that, you know, we are not in control. And it was very apparent in that time. I use a lot of examples in my book. That one that I don't know why this one really like is, I like to share this from time to time because it was a situation that I went through that I, at the time, didn't even know what the purpose was for. Why did I experience this little mishap? And so years ago, I was training for a race and I had a specific outcome in mind. I was training for my first mini marathon, which was my only one. And I had a certain goal in mind that I wanted to hit, you know, I wanted to run the race in under 2 hours. And so I had this goal in mind. And so I did all the things to hit this goal. I got accountability and I practiced and I ate the right things and got the perfect tools and the right gear. I did the practice runs, everything that I could do to make sure I would hit that goal. And then race day comes and I was on course the first 12 miles to hit this goal and surpass this goal. I was super excited about it. And then all of a sudden on the last 1.1 miles, like, it just started pouring down rain. It started raining and, you know, I got waterlogged in my feet and next thing you know, my calves are clenching up. And needless to say, there was nothing I could do to meet this goal that I had in mind. And at the time I was just, all I was frustrated. I was like, what was that all about? I'm one that always want to find purpose in what I'm doing. And, you know, I want to see, like, God always has reason for our struggles. And I couldn't quite put my finger on it. But years later, it wasn't until then, as I'm writing this book, and I thought, if nothing else for God to remind me that I am not in control, I can try all I want to control my surroundings, but ultimately he is the one that makes the plans. And so whether, you know, and I've seen this in like raising children and even just bearing my own children. You know, there's times I've worked my tail off to try to control only to be reminded that if it's not God's will, there's nothing I can do to make it happen. And so ultimately I've just, you know, or there's times that I have not even tried to knock to open a door or not, you know, knock on a certain door to open and like God just swings it open for me. So it goes both ways. And I've just been reminded time and again that he is in control. And that in itself, when we can acknowledge that, it relieves so much weight and that pressure. We can experience so much more freedom and peace in our lives when we, because I mean, the weight of control is heavy. Like, I don't really want to be in control of all things. It's like the more responsibility we have in our lives, the heavier life feels. And it's not comfortable. Nobody likes that. So not just is it good to acknowledge that God's in control for peace, but it's the truth. He is in control. And yes, that is a place that I really have begun to alleviate so many of my worries and my ultimate fears.
Yeah, I'm glad he's God and I'm not. You know, that gives me that gives me such peace. I absolutely agree. And I actually only ran a half marathon once as well, so I can relate to that also. So then you move into part two of your book, teaching your readers from unlearning their worry habits to unleashing their inner warrior. And I've never really considered myself a warrior. I don't see myself as a warrior for whatever reason, but we are with the help of God, with the strength of God, with his Holy Spirit inside of us. So walk us through the armor we have to fight this battle with worry.
So you're right. Most of us don't wake up in the morning and feel like natural born warriors. I 100% feel the same way. But with time and really studying God's word and who he is and who I have in him, you do gain a little bit more of that. But that warrior armor that we find truly though is in God's word. And I focus on two truths in the book, and the two truths that I focus on really to help uproot our fears is his power and his love, the truth that he is sovereign, like we talked about, that he is in control, that he is capable of all things and anything in his will, and that he has ultimate power over the enemy and anything that wants to destroy us. And then the truth of his love, of his unconditional, perfect love. The Bible speaks repeatedly about both of these things. And I think it's for me when I have learned to really pour into my heart these two truths, it's what has started to slowly change everything. And I started really thinking about this and getting deep in my thoughts. And I was thinking, you know, if we could truly, truly believe with everything that we are, that he loves us so much and more than we could possibly ever imagine. And like that we are so cherished and so valued, and that not take that and combine it with, he's got full control of all things. So his love for me means that he wants good for me. His plan is good for me, for my ultimate future. He's got a perfect, perfect, beautiful plan. And then I know that he is in control of it. Then it's like, that just feels so, doesn't it just feel so beautiful to imagine? Like, it's like, whew, what do I have to worry about? And then it kind of stops me in my tracks sometimes when I truly embrace those two things. And if I could just soak that in constantly. But truly, as we learn to study and pour over those truths in the Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit, that is God's word, is the sword. That's what fights the enemy, fights the fear, and fights the worry. And the more we have that just written on our hearts, the more we are equipped to win this battle.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need to repeat like that mantra every single day that you just said. And then I'm just thinking about that's when Jesus was tempted in the desert, how did he fight his battles? He fought it with the word of God. He fought it with the truth. And you were talking about the lies of the enemy. And so we've got to know the truth to be able to fight. Because I just am thinking about like the thoughts that are in, it's just a worry is just a continuous thought that's going on and replaying in our head. And so we've got to counteract that thought with the truth of the Lord. We've got to know the truth, and that's why it's so important. So moving on, so how have you found peace by fighting off life's storms?
So this is kind of a two parts for me. One, it's really, you know, understanding his love, learning his love, along with his sovereignty. But truly, I place an emphasis here on the consistency piece. For me, I have found peace in doing all these things, the prayer and all the spiritual disciplines that we learn, that we know to be in the Word every day, to pray as often as we can remember, to surround ourselves with other believers that can lift us up. And when we do these things repeatedly over and over, day in and day out, it begins to solidify our beliefs. And in solidifying our belief, we begin to find more and more peace. So I think it's just in consistency that we begin to slowly change. It's sort of like when you eat healthy food. You know, you can't just do it one day. We need to do it over and over and over again. It begins to change what comes out. And so as we feed ourselves these things consistently, what comes out is the fruit of peace. Along with those, the second part here is truly actively seeking that peace in the storm. So we have this song on our hearts. We have this peace that starts to infuse our hearts as we practice consistently. But there are times when we are blindsided by fear and worry, and we need to learn to actively seek peace in our environment. And this is true for me, because I am someone who struggled with anxiety. And they can just hit me, out of nowhere, and I'm not prepared. And I have to learn to also practice actively seeking his peace in the storm. And that might look like for me going to solitude like Jesus did, making a priority of going to a place alone by myself. Now, that's not always easy because I've got a lot of kids and I can't always just run from everything, but that might be like running in the bathroom for a second or just putting my hands over my ears and just praying, and sometimes we will have the opportunity to truly go away somewhere. And even if it's taken a weekend away, whatever, we have to make a priority, I believe, of seeking peace in our lives to give us the opportunity to really pour these things back into our heart, into our soul. And it's making a habit of doing these things, like I mentioned, to allow that peace to infuse our current situation.
How about joy? How have you overcome dread and discontentment?
Gratitude. I'll just say it like that is the key, I believe, for me. And that's in all things. If you're not experiencing joy, I believe when you put a focus on gratitude, it can truly shift your perspective in the moment. But when you apply this to things like worry and fear, and we're in a struggle, I had a conversation recently with a friend, and we were talking about being worried about our kids. My son's gonna start. He's gonna get his license next month, and I'm a little worried about it. I'll be honest. And she said, in times like that, I've learned to, instead of worry about his safety, thank God for keeping him safe. And so I thought that's an interesting way to look at it, but just shifting your perspective. And it's like you're acknowledging what God has given you, and you're just keeping your focus in that lane versus on the worry of what could or could be, which a lot of times, like you said, doesn't even happen. And I experienced that when my brother-in-law was sick last summer, and he was had stage 4 cancer, and I was worried about him, worried about my sister, and I was worried about her boys, and it started to really eat me up. But I'd made the decision to start noticing the blessings in that difficulty, in that worry, and in that fear. And I just started to, like the relationships that were forming and growing, and the ways God showed up. And so when I start to thank Him for the things in the midst of our fear and struggle, it changes everything.
And I'm going to reveal a little bit of my own weakness. You and I, we drove together to a retreat that I mentioned earlier, and we were dreaming about something that we maybe are planning in the future together. And I was kind of saying like, well, what if it doesn't work? Or what if, all the fears and lack of faith. And you were like, well, what if it's great? You were doing all the positive things. And so this is something that you practice and like were even challenging me in my life personally. And so I just want to praise you publicly for something that you were practicing and then encouraging me and challenging me in my life to do as well. And so next, you talk about purpose. How have you found significance in obedience?
Well, Rachel, you started to touch on about what you just said. It's really for me, for purpose, and finding significance in obedience, it's disregarding the what ifs. So, which allow when we stop asking what if, like what could go wrong, and start asking like what could go right, it does allow it opens the door to allows us to walk in God's calling because we're not afraid of what could go wrong. When the fear is not present, or when it's minimized, then we are less afraid of what could go wrong, and we start to see what God can do, and we're walking in His power, and we're trusting. Trusting that He has that good plan, and that He will walk us through no matter what. For me, for example, when I was before I had, I have my family story, and we have twins, and that was the last of our 5 children. And before we decided to have that one more baby that turned to 2, I had a lot of worry and fear, and I just like you said, I was like, well, what if, what if we never are able to retire? What if we can't afford this? And what if we're too old to even be fun for these kids or whatever? And all the things. But I was really truly in a seeking phase too, just to seek God like never before. And I really wanted what He wanted for my life. And I was beginning to trust Him more and more and understand that He loved me, and He was in control of all these things. So if He was calling me to it, He would definitely lead me through it. And when we say yes to God, when we do those things, that is when we find so much purpose and so much significance. I mean, think of like it's the same with me with writing, and even flying. I talk about my fear of flying in the book a little bit, a lot. And as I've let go of the fears and just walk in what God says, Carrie, trust me, and I stop listening to the what ifs. Just imagine the places that you could go, the things you could do, and the purpose you might find if you were free of that fear.
Well, that segues me perfectly to the next question I have for you, and it's so your last chapter is about identity, and you actually, and I actually was your friend through this process of you hadn't flown, is that right? And then you
Yes.
actually, well, I'm giving it all away.
It had
Okay,
been
so my
8 years.
question
It had
is,
been a long time. Yeah.
okay,
It had been
so
a long
okay,
time.
I'm gonna let you tell the story, but how can we take flight into the fullness of life? And please tell that story. It's such a good story.
Okay, yeah. So definitely fear was I wasn't planning on taking this flight when I started writing the book, but I admit to my readers that I didn't feel like I could rightfully speak to them about overcoming worry and fear if I wasn't willing to put this all into practice and face my own worry and fear and see what does it truly look like when we face something that to us feels like our deepest fear. What does it look like? And I experienced all the things that God showed up in the most beautiful way. So I first, I was fearful. I had some fear, but I used all these tools. And so I got on this plane, and what I experienced is something I want to give encouragement to others in. And it was that not necessarily that my fear completely went away and that my worry was completely gone. I was able to do it, and I'm glad that I did it. But what I experienced was to embrace him in the midst of my fear and my worry. And I experienced something that was so unexpected. And it was an intimacy and a joy because at a moment in my life, I was acknowledging I had zero control. And all I could do was to just fully rest in his arms. And in that, I was just so thankful. I was like, I had nothing to do but just to be held by him. And it was the most intimate, sweetest experience. And I thought, you know, if I never fully can dismantle this fear, I am thankful because if it means I get to be closer to my father and understand that I am his, my identity is in him. I am a daughter of the King, of the sovereign God. We all are. And I'm able to fully acknowledge that in my deepest struggles, in my darkest moments, then I realized like it was all worth it. It's all worth it. Now, I will tell you, all that said, I've flown since then 2 more times, and it's been that much easier. And I actually look forward now when I've flown the 2 times after that. I'm like, oh, I get to go back and just literally be with the Lord in the most intimate way. And I look forward to it. And you know, he's allowed more peace and more peace to wash over the situation. So I can actually enjoy it now a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, I've just been able to experience who I am and whose I am in my darkest moments, in my fears, as I've really gotten to the depth of it and I've allowed him to infuse his truth and his power and his love over the situation and over me.
So, because I'm your friend, and because I get to live life with you, I have seen, and I hope that this is okay to say, you still battle some with worry and with anxiety. Like, this is still something, even though you've written this book, even though you know the tips and all the tricks, like, wouldn't you say, like, this is still, like, just in full transparency, like, this is still something you're walking through. And so, like, if somebody is listening today that is battling worry, battling anxiety, how would you encourage her today?
You are 100% right, Rachel. It's something that I acknowledge that I do still struggle with. And the difference is, though, first of all, I've made so much progress. And in that, I've made so much progress. And that is a win for a worrier, I'll just tell you. But the hope I have now, even in that, and the hope I want to offer somebody else is that I'm aware now that it is a lie from the enemy, and that God does defeat can defeat it. God wins. So there is hope. It's not like I'm just, oh, I'm a worrier, oh, I have worry, or oh, I have fear in my life and I'm stuck there. That's not true because God wins and God defeats it. God defeats the enemy. He conquers all. And we have that power. And I know that I have that power to overcome because I have him. And that gives me all the hope that I need. I know I can continue to make progress because I can continue to get closer to him.
So good. Well, so as we come to a close, how has letting go of worry and a little peace gone a long way in your own life?
Oh, you know, little by little, day by day, as we practice being with God, being in His Word, my worry has slowly made its is reduced and dissolved. You know, I said it's not completely gone. It will not be this side of heaven. But the more and more peace that's infused my days, it's opened the door for so much more enjoyment in my life. This life I've been gifted, instead of worrying about my people, I can enjoy them. instead of worrying about things like money, I can thank God for it. And instead of living with fear in my life, I find fullness all throughout it. So I believe a little peace can sometimes be the difference, like make all the difference in a yes to God or that no. And it's in that yes that we walk in his calling and we walk in obedience with him. And that's where we find our true purpose and significance.
Yeah, if we let worry like hold us back from maybe what he's going to call us to, or keep us stuck in fear, or just keep us even tormented. Like imagine what we can get miss out on, or just stay so stuck instead of in the fullness of what he has for us. So I know that this has just been such an encouraging conversation for me. I'm confident that it is going to be such an encouraging conversation for all of those that are going to tune in. So tell us how, I know I'm going to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to. So tell us how we could best do
that. Yeah. Yes. So I, my website is carrieichberger.com. That's Carrie with a K. I'm on Instagram quite often. You can always find me there. I love to meet new people and hang out there. So yeah, Instagram is probably the easiest place to find me.
Okay. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being my guest today and for helping us to believe that a little peace goes a long way and that we can win over worry. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Carrie Eichberger. We hope that today helped you to win over worry and to believe that a little peace goes a long way. This week, your little task is to remember the promise of God's peace. Turn to Him in prayer, releasing your worries and burdens into His capable hands. Trust that His peace will stand guard over your heart and mind. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes. You can read the blog series. You can purchase significant merchandise. You can download free resources like the conversation guide, the guided journal, and the list tracker. And you can invite me to come and speak to your ladies group. I would love to share this A Little Goes a Long Way message to your church. You can, again, find all this information at rachelkadams.com. Next week, my guest is Brooke McLaughlin. She is on the show talking about how a little patience goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.